As we become more and more connected, it seems that banking via our smartphones is now commonplace. We don't think twice about logging in to check our balance, transfer cash, or even withdraw money via ATMs using our phone. But what if your supposedly secure login is stolen? It's been revealed that hackers have developed software that reside on your phone in disguise and can mimic the login page from over 20 banks in Australia and overseas. This is some scary stuff, and to discuss the threat and what you can do, we are talking to Nick Fitzgerald. He's the Australian and New Zealand Senior Research Fellow at ESET, a leading security solutions provider. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Mick.
Thanks so much for joining us on 2SDR this morning.
You're welcome.
Now, firstly, what is this actual threat that we're seeing at the moment, and how is it identified?
It's an Android banking Trojan that we have seen. It's being distributed through falsely claiming to be an Android Flash player app. The exact mechanism is not that it's using to social engineer people to install it is not clear to us. It may be that it's being delivered through some kind of online ads or in-app ads, or it may be that it's just popping up on dubious websites. But what we do know is that for users to install it, they must have disabled the default Android security protection. Normally, by default on an Android device, you can only install new apps from the Google Play Store.
So this is a sort of a side installation. It's not in the actual official Google Play Store?
Yes. At the moment, we've not seen this or variants of the original in the Google Play Store. It, as far as we can tell, it's still only being made available through third-party app stores. So if the user hasn't disabled the standard security protection that would prevent this, they may click on some kind of link or click on an ad or something on a web page that says you need the Android Flash Player app to see this website, to play this game, to view this video, whatever it might be. They may click on that, but at the point where that remote server tries to send them the app, the standard security protections in the Android operating system will prevent it because it's not coming from the Google Play Store. However, if you've disabled that setting, which a lot of people do for various reasons, and you click on one of those things, the installation will proceed as normal and the malicious activity will ensue as the bad guys want. And what that activity is that it installs a hidden application that watches and waits until you run one of a large list of apps, most of which are mobile banking apps, but there are a few others in there. And it will put a fake login screen over the top of, I'm going to say, the mobile banking app, because that's mostly what it targets. So it will put up a fake login screen over the mobile banking app screen, and it uses a nasty trick that means that you can't do anything else until you've filled in the form on that login screen and clicked the OK button.
Wow. So does it look really like it look exactly the same as the banking login page?
Right. These fake screens, each one is individualized. So if you're a Westpac customer, say, and you're using the Westpac app, it will look like a Westpac-styled and themed login page.
Right.
Once you've filled in the username and password or the account number and password. Different banks have slightly different requirements of what they want.
Hmm.
Once you've done that, that data gets sent to the bad guys who are presumably running the scam and maybe through a long chain of proxies. We obviously see the first one. We don't know what happens from there unless we can get control of that server. Anyway, so they get your username and password or account number and password. And then at some point in the future, now that they've got that information, if they decide to try to log into your account as you, when they do that, if your bank uses a two-factor authentication mechanism that sends a text to your phone, when they do the login and they get the prompt for the two-factor authentication token, they tell the malware on your phone that they've done this, and it intercepts the text message that comes to your phone. The malware sends the information from that text message to the bad guys through the network back channel. They then have the second thing that they need to log into your bank account, and then they can do whatever they like. Buy goods, transfer money, pay their own bills with your money, etc.
Well, that's some scary stuff. And I guess we think that two-factor authentication is quite foolproof, but in this case, it seems to bypass that or incorporate it into the hack.
Yes, that is really the most worrying thing about this particular malware. It's not the first malware that's been seen that does this, and it's not the first Android banking malware that does this, but it's one of the early ones, and it's a progression. And looking at the history of these things, if one group of bad guys is successful with these new techniques, then typically we'll see that they'll either develop what they're doing and make it available as like malware for sale, or they'll provide the malicious activity as some kind of software service online. Mm. Or other groups who are doing much the same thing will go, well, they're doing it, let's work out how they're doing it, and they'll add the same kind of functionality to their own banking trojans, because they'll realize, well, these guys are doing it, they'll be making more money than us.
It's only affecting Android phones at the moment.
This particular banking trojan is Android specific. Yes.
Okay. So as you said, if we make sure we tick the trustworthy app store value on our phones.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we should have sort of ensure we do, or we can check to see if we've already got this?
I don't like to push our website in a radio interview, but in our blog post there are detailed instructions on how to manually check for it and how to uninstall it.
Okay, all right, we'll find that blog post and link it to our podcast, and that way people can have a look themselves to see if they can check their phones just to make sure they don't have it.
That would be great.
Now, with so much of our lives are on our phones nowadays, I mean, really, we have to start being quite vigilant. Do you think there's any sort of best way to ensure the integrity of our personal details on our mobile phones?
Not installing at all dubious software is really it. And whilst the Google Play Store checks are not perfect, it's probably the least unsafe way to go.
Okay.
So going back to my earlier advice, whilst the Google Play Store might not be perfect in the filtering and testing that they do on applications that are submitted to be made available on the Play Store, they probably do it better than anyone else. And and because they're so large and so dominant, they also, if something bad does get there, they notice and they blacklist it and they cause it to be blocked on. There are default security settings. But if something's uploaded to the Play Store and erroneously okayed and allowed onto the Play Store and then people download it, if a few days or a week later Google notice and then they blacklist it, that application will then get blocked on the device, even though you've installed it and may have previously used it.
Oh, okay.
It will actually not be able to continue to function. So, Google and the Google Play Store have the heft and the clout. So, between that and installing a good security solution, security product of some sort, that's probably the best advice I can give.
Oh, well, it's really interesting to have a chat to you, and thank you so much for your time today on 2SER.
You're most welcome.